My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Aaron Rodgers is offended. How dare you?
At what?
How dare you imply that he in any way had anything to do with head coach Robert Saleh getting relieved of his duties, Perloff? How dare you? And furthermore, this is a man with a family, Perloff. This is a man with a family. No one should ever say that Robert Saleh is not a good head coach and doesn't deserve to have his job because, man, there's a family there. I'm sorry, Aaron Rodgers, and of course I'm joking around, was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, of course, and it was embarrassing, I thought, what Rodgers was doing on that show.
All right, it's pile on Rodgers season. Okay, they're 2-3. Unload the barrel. Go ahead.
Listen, they might be 3-3 after Monday night. I'm not ruling out this season for the Jets. I'm just talking about his behavior was not only was it patronizing, in my opinion. Also, it's just, he said it's patently false that he has anything to do with Robert Saleh not being the head coach. And I think it's patently false that he could not have anything to do with it. He has power in the organization. He says it's overblown. That's not true because we've watched player after player and teammate after teammate of his get signed at his behest. Why would we not think that he has a lot of power in the organization? And he's like, no, it's not me. Sorry for your family. Calling out Robert Saleh's little son by name, I thought was so, he thought it was classy, I'm sure. That is classless, dude. You got to leave the family out of this right now. We know they're reeling. We know this is a bad day for them. Don't go on Pat McAfee's show and say, I'm sorry, little Adam.
What are you doing? He's like, first of all, that kid was thrilled. He has his own handshake with Rodgers. That's like a thing.
And that kid's life just got turned upside down. Does he need Rodgers going on ESPN to say, I'm sorry, little buddy? Pick up the phone.
My issue is a little different.
Okay.
Rodgers is acting like, do you guys know Robert Saleh makes millions of dollars?
Yes.
So all the stuff about how he's like
America.
Right. But you just said his family got torn apart. Like, that's ridiculous. I thought Rodgers went too far about worrying about assistant coaches. And, like, those guys are getting a ton of money to be vulnerable to be fired like that. Like, I'm not going to shed a tear for Robert Saleh. He hit the jackpot in his life.
Also, no other assistants got fired as far as we know. So
No. But one thing, I actually have a competing theory that I think you might buy into.
Oh.
Is it possible that Woody Johnson is just a sort of unhinged billionaire who acted extemporaneously and just said, I can't do this anymore, and did it without Rodgers? Because I think that's a possibility as well. I think Rodgers' best defense, and he won't say it, is that, like, Woody just decided, I don't like the way this is going, and didn't even really think it through and did it impulsively.
Oh, an impetuous billionaire?
I always believe
that theory.
Yeah.
However, when they said they spoke Monday night. See, that's the part of it.
And but can you imagine them, those two people having a direct conversation about Robert Saleh? Maybe they talked around it. There's no way Woody said, do you think I should fire Robert Saleh? There's no way that conversation happened.
Well, you don't know, and I don't know. Roger said that that Woody called to check on him, just to say, sure, how's your knee, how's your ankle, whatever he got rolled up on in the game in London. But we had Ian O'Connor on yesterday, who literally just wrote a book about Aaron Rodgers. No one's been researching him more. And he said the relationship is really with Christopher Johnson, who's the brother, who took over when Woody Johnson became the ambassador to the UK under Donald Trump. So I think Rodgers is having conversations with Christopher as like the lieutenant, if you will. And you don't think that filters to Woody? That's two brothers who are involved in running this organization, so they can speak candidly with each other. And so I think Rodgers, if he wants to get his point across, I think there's a million ways for him to do that. Because I ask you this, like, if we flip the conversation just a little bit, we're talking about Aaron Rodgers was very offended that anyone would imply or outright say that he had anything to do with Saleh getting fired earlier this week. Let's say Rodgers banged the table for Saleh. I want him. He's the right guy. Don't do this. Let's not make a change right now. Don't you think Robert Saleh would still be the head coach?
This week. But I mean, if they lost to the Bills, no.
Well, you lose to the Bills.
Woody's like, why am I spending all this money on this team and we stick? He came into this season with this crazy expectation. I really believe a lot of this is he thought he has a Super Bowl team.
He might not be wrong about that. The problem is
I think so far he looks like he is wrong about that.
Well, we'll see. But, you know, the idea that Aaron Rodgers, I'm not saying that he necessarily like ordered the code red, but he didn't stop the code red. And I do think that how Rodgers has spoken about the team, the accountability, all of that stuff, I think this matters. And I think I think the bigger thing, if he wanted to save Saleh's job, he could have done it. Let's hear from Rodgers. Can we play a little, Ryan? He cut three, categorically denies being involved in the firing.
As far as any of the ridiculous allegations out there, I'm not going to spend more than one sentence in response to it, and that is that I resent any of those accusations because they're patently false. And it's interesting the amount of power that people think that I have, which I don't.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at the evidence. Why is Alan Lazard on this team? Was Randall Cobb on this team? Why was Tim Boyle on this team? They're all your friends. Why is Nathaniel Hackett the offensive coordinator? Do you think it's because his skill set? It's not, dude. It's not. The only reason why the Jets hired Nathaniel Hackett is because they thought it would lure Rodgers. Everything, Rodgers is the sun, and the whole organization is revolving around him. For him to say differently is just insulting our intelligence.
But wait, why does everyone think that Davante Adams would be a good fit for the Jets?
Because he has a relationship with Rodgers.
Right, but that's not like a negative. So Why did they think Alan Lazard would be a good fit for the Jets? Because Rodgers knows him. So like, there's a logic to bring in your star quarterback's former receivers. That's not power. That's like an obvious team building move.
And explain Randall Cobb.
Same thing. Like, get a guy who knows the offense. That's like why you bring in. That happens all the time. You bring in an old guy.
Watched.
Cobb was, he was a minimum player, but he knows the offense. He's going to coach up with the guys in the wide receiver room. That happens all the time.
And why is Nathaniel Hackett here?
Well, the Hackett thing is, I think, like,
he's the one guy who actually needs to be held accountable, and he won't because he's Rodgers' crony.
Hackett obviously is well thought of. The guy got a head coaching job. Like, he's not he has an NFL resume. It wasn't a crazy hire by any means. I mean, he got the head coaching job in Denver.
And what happened there?
I know it went bad, but like, obviously, like, it's not like he's promoting some ball boy. It was Nathaniel Hackett's had like some of the great offenses in the last 10 years of NFL. So it wasn't a crazy hire. It's like, of course they hired Nathaniel Hackett. That makes perfect sense.
Perloff, he didn't even call the plays the year that Rodgers won MVP in Green Bay. He's literally the fun guy in the meeting who does like hip hop dance classes, because Nathaniel Hackett was the offensive coordinator for the team I root for, and they weren't a great team. He didn't make it better. The other thing, too, though...
Well, right, but he obviously has a long resume as a top offensive coach. It's not like
he's got a resume of his dad being a coach and him being a coach, and he got lucky to be associated with Rodgers. And what, 1 year of Blake Bortles? Like, that's it.
I forgot about that. That was actually another thing. I mean, he's...
And Doug Marone got all the accolades.
But again, it's not like none of these moves are like, oh, I think like they all kind of made sense. Like, nobody, when they hire, you know, there are a lot of Jets fans here. When they sign Lazard, like, yeah, of course, getting a guy who knows how to run that particular offense, that's fine, right? They did overpay a little bit, but it's not, none of this stuff is like, I'm actually on Roger's side in this one. None of this stuff is like so smoky. Like, he's like the huge problem here.
Okay. So it might not be a problem necessarily. I just don't want to be taken for a fool. I don't want to be taken for a fool that Rogers had no say in this, that fingerprints are not on this at all, that his fingerprints aren't on this at all. Again,
then why didn't he get rid of him in the offseason if he had so much power?
He should have. I think he was probably so focused on his rehab and returning and thought, I'll overcome it. Even though Robert Saleh is not a good head coach, I'll be able to overcome his, you know, ineptitude. And now that's not happening. So now head's got to roll. And I guess the other part of this, too, is I just went back yesterday, because if you're not going to judge on the actions, then maybe we should judge on the words. Because the fact that Rogers was so offended by this is what offended me, frankly. And so I went back and listened to some of the things that he said at the end of the Green Bay tenure and why things got dicey before he had got traded to the Jets. And a lot of it was, I feel like I should be more involved. I feel like I should have a say. If I'm running the offense, I should have a say in how it's going down. They should be leaning on me more as far as free agency is concerned. They should be including me more in how everything is running in the organization. You guys can look it up. The quotes are all right there from the horse's mouth.
Right, just like Tom Brady said the same thing.
And listen, I'm not saying that they haven't earned it. Do you don't think Tom Brady had power at Tampa? It's one thing about Belichick. Yeah, Belichick was running that kingdom.
Yeah, Brady brought in his guys.
He brought in his guys, and it ended up working. So don't lie to me, Aaron Rodgers, and say that you have no power in this organization. Brady would probably lie about it too, but you're like, you're gaslighting me.
Yeah, I don't know. I still think like this direct line, like Rodgers got him fired after week five. It just feels like, I think what you're saying,
fired, but
I think you're saying he didn't. Yeah, but why would he save? Why is that his job to save a bad coach?
It's not, but I think when you say I'm offended that anyone would think that I was consulted in any way, even that I don't have that kind of power.
Saying,
and that's crap, because the other part of the interview, and to be fair to Mac, if he actually asked a follow up on it to try to drill down, or maybe AJ Hawk asked the first question of Mac if he asked the follow up, were you shocked when the news came down? And listen, Rogers does have a future in politics, because he skirted that question 100 different ways. And he said he was not surprised. Like, you can't listen to that interview.
I thought he said he was surprised.
Go back and listen to it. He never says that. He goes, were you shocked? I was rehabbing. I was rehabbing, and then all of a sudden we started, you know.
He said he had no idea. He might be totally lying. He said he would.
Go back and listen. He skirts it. And he should, because I'm sure he did have a heads up. He probably should have a heads up.
I think you need to go back and listen. He said he had no idea. He was in the training room, and he said he was totally surprised and the schedule got all changed for the day. And he was actually complaining about that.
Never said he was surprised.
Oh, okay.
We're going to have to go back to the videotape.
Let's go back. We have to go back to the videotape.
We have to parse the words now, because this is what you get with Aaron Rodgers. So anyway, I think the question now is, you know, Jeff Ulbrich, by the way, who took over as the head coach, has also not said like, oh, now I'm going to hold Aaron Rodgers' feet to the fire. It's more of the same. Like, I'm going to consult him. He's going to be a huge part of this. They all know that he has the power. That's it. He's like, why are we all afraid to talk about this? Why is Rodgers afraid to admit it? He just doesn't want to get his hands dirty, because he feels what it sounded like to me, trying to assuage his own guilt yesterday in some ways. Like, yes, it's going to be bad when someone gets fired. We all know that. And yet, Robert Saleh has 7 kids, and you had a relationship with one of them. This is the collateral damage. No one wants kids to be clowned at school. No one wants kids to be taken up in the, be caught up in this kind of stuff, Pearl. He doesn't have to say that. I think we all know as adults that this is not easy on people.
And I think Rogers is the last person, quite frankly, with some of the wild things he's thrown on the Pat McAfee show about people and what's been going on, like Jimmy Kimmel, to be like, this guy is a family.
Yeah, right.
Like, this guy shoots from the hip about people all the time, not caring about whether they have a family, whether they're going to have crazy trolls coming after them now over his loose allegations about things like that. That was one of those things where, like, you need to sit down, buddy. You're not the guy to give me this message.
So you guys actually came away from that press conference thinking, oh, my God, Aaron Rodgers was insensitive to the Saleh's. I thought I agree more the first thing. He was overly sensitive to the Saleh's because maybe he felt guilty. Like, you can't tell me he came away and was like, oh, I threw that family under the bus. It was the exact opposite.
It wasn't about throwing him under the bus. It was about, I would not at that point, we all know it's difficult. I'm not bringing a spotlight onto that. And here's the thing. If you, what he said is like, you know, basically this guy's got a family, so kind of watch what you say, media. You're on ESPN. You got a problem with how anybody's talking about it on that network, then do some, say something. Then don't go on. You know, you don't, and I get he's getting money to go on McAfee, but it's the people on, it's not just us who are skewering Robert Saleh. It's open season on Robert Saleh on that network. So if he's really got a problem, then take it up with them. What are you going to, or what, people on Twitter? Like, what do you care? And Saleh shouldn't care about that either. And his kids certainly shouldn't be exposed to that.
Well, isn't what he was saying he was kind of speaking to the NFL insiders on the McAfee show, saying, stop it, just stop ripping this guy. That's what's a better way to do that than to go and Pat McAfee, his only outlet, and say that? You're saying you should go behind the scenes and call up Jimmy Pitaro at ESPN and say, tell your guys to be nicer? That was the perfect avenue to do that.
Stop telling people how to do their jobs.
But you just said if you have a problem with Saleh, then tell ESPN.
No, I'm saying you can do that behind the scenes. Can you not?
But you just said, wait, so which is it? Stop telling them how to do their jobs or call ESPN and say, stop making fun of Saleh?
I say if you have a, first of all, you shouldn't even be addressing that. I don't think.
I don't know. I thought I listened to the Rogers thing. I was like, oh, it's kind of nice. He's saying nice things about Saleh.
No, because it's ha ha. It's like I took it as finger wagging, and I took it as like a superiority thing. Like to EJ's point.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, there's a little bit of that.
Like you guys don't say anything. You shouldn't be doing this. Wag your finger. Don't say how Robert Saleh is not a good head coach. It's just a fact, man. No one's going out of their way to skewer him personally. In fact, it's the opposite. I think everyone's couching it with Saleh. Good guy, you know, always conducted himself. Well, I mean, listen, he and Rodgers had their things, had their issues. Yeah. The texting with Joe Beningo was just kind of unprofessional, but Joe was the one who put him on blast on that. Like, I think everyone thinks that he's actually a good dude. No one has ever, as far as I know, said anything about his character.
Can I actually make a little bit of go against the grain here?
Sure.
I was so surprised. We had Ian O'Connor on last night, who's an expert on coaches, wrote the book on Belichick. I didn't know it was so obvious that Saleh was that bad. If Ian's saying he's a... But Saleh was 7-10 last year with nothing. And then he was 2-3 this year. I mean, it's very rare for a 2-3 coach to get fired. Like, this is not Nathaniel Hackett in Denver, is it? Like, all of a sudden, I actually did not realize how bad people thought Saleh was. Because his record was actually pretty darn good last year. And he's an awesome defensive coach. Like, you don't always get that. There's some guys who are just total hot messes. At least Saleh is like, God, he's one of the top defensive minds in the NFL right now.
I mean, EJ, I can defer to you on this one. But I think some of his decision-making, like, there are just straight-up games he's lost for them. You know?
Are there that many of them, though?
Well, I mean, you know, your margin for error is not that big in the NFL.
Won seven games. Won all his close games last year. It definitely didn't cost him a lot of games last year. I don't know how he won. I don't know how he beat the Eagles. That was still shocking to me.
Well, I mean, the Eagles had a hand in that.
And this year, yes. I mean, is it the Denver? It's really the Denver game, right? He lost 10-9 to the Broncos, and that cost him his job. You saw that game. That thing was a mess. It was like nobody could throw the ball. Like, it was just like, I don't know. I feel like the piling on Saleh, I actually found a bit surprising. I felt like all of a sudden, like, it went from a trickle to a waterfall of criticism. This is the worst coach ever.
So, I mean, listen, he didn't pick Zach Wilson, which I thought it was weird that Joe Douglas is kind of escaping this. They're saying, oh, this is the most talented roster. Okay, this year. And you're right, they're not even out of it. But it's funny because Woody Johnson said that it wasn't the last two games. He's actually been thinking about this for a couple years. Is that what he said? A couple years now?
Yeah.
It's like he's only been there for 3 years.
Okay, well,
Sorry. It's just one of those things with Saleh where it's one of those things where, like, the periphery, you can kind of paint a picture. And I think Saleh has actually, quite frankly, tried to do this. He's talked in the media about how look at coaches that have their backup quarterbacks and their records. You can paint a picture that says, hey, maybe this guy is a good coach with a better team. But if you watch this team week to week and you just see how unprepared they are and how they lose these games, you have 5 games this year. Yes, maybe the Denver game is the only game that was like a really terrible game. They have not played well in any game except for against the Patriots, and that was one of the worst teams in the NFL, maybe the worst team in the NFL. They're never prepared. They always seem to be like a second or 2 seconds or even three behind when it comes to like timeout management, clock management, just like preparation, what a team's going to do to start a game. Like, the Vikings have been smoking people in the first quarter all season. How do you come out that unprepared for what they're going to do? You know Flores is going to come up with these looks.
But
you know
everybody else has been unprepared for the Vikings, too.
But it's week 5, Pearl. Like, I mean, week one, week two, week three, week four, you see all these teams. You're like, you know what? Maybe we got to have our P's and Q's together and be ready to play this team. And you get 17-0 right out the gate.
I don't know. They lost by one score to the best team in the NFC. For me, that's not normally. This is not a normal firing. 2-3 is not usually when you axe a guy.
But that was also why it's pretty stunning.
I mean, it should have happened in the offseason. Like, that's what we all agree. We're disagreeing on a lot of things here. We all agree if Woody Johnson wanted him out and Aaron Rodgers wanted him out, he should have been gone before the season. To do it now is so bizarre.
Yeah.
Maybe do it after they lost. If they lose to the Bills and go to 2-4, 2-3 is not when you fire your coach.
I get it. But if you know deep down that if you're at Super Bowl expectations and you know deep down you don't have a Super Bowl coach in the sidelines, do you just play out the season and say, all right, well, I just hope whatever happens, happens? Or do you at least try with something?
Have you noticed that your 40-year-old quarterback is limping every game? He's crawling on all fours in agony? Like, that's the number one, number two, and number three storyline for the Jets. Aaron Rodgers is hurt. So what are we doing? I don't care who your coach is. He couldn't throw off his back foot in that last interception. Like, the dude is hurt.
I agree with that, and that's a big problem. I think that we talk about all this, and I think there's one thing I would give credit to Rodgers on, Maggie, is he did say, if I played better, Salah would be here. And I think that was important to say, because at the end of the day, he's right. Like, if he plays better,
right,
Salah's not fired. They're 3-2. They're probably skating by, or maybe they're 4-1. Maybe they steal one of these games. Maybe they beat the Vikings. Like, that's... I felt like of all the other nonsense, I heard that was kind of all I need to hear. Cause at least now he knows, yep, that finger's now on you. We're not looking at anybody else now. You got to figure this thing out.
Well, I know we got to break one more thing. He did also criticize Nathaniel Hackett. That is like saying we got to do something different.
I think he knows that they want to make a change.
I think he's gotten the message.
Well, and you saw Jeff Ulbrich, so talking about the new head coach now, talking about the offense coordinator. He goes, no titles are going to be changing. No titles are changing, but we might make some changes. So basically,
meaning duties.
Don't embarrass Nathaniel Hackett, but we're probably going to take the play calling away.
Yeah.
I mean, they're tiptoeing around Hackett. Why else would you do that if not for Rodgers and the power he has in the organization, which is where this whole conversation started? So it's a lot. Are you interested? 855-212-4227 and how the Jets are going to rebound from this, because this is a big game for them Monday night.
Yes.
I think they're going to win this game.
What is it? What's the spread out? 3?
It was 3, yeah. 2.5.
Yeah. Is anybody on the Bills healthy?
No.
Yeah.
Great question. Can they get Davante Adams in?
I read a Bill, like, is Shakir, what's up with that dude? Anyway, it feels
the linchpin of the offense, you mean?
Yeah.
Shakir?
He's not even practicing yet. No. There's a lot of problems on that side of the ball. Man, somebody's got to win that game. Unless it's a tie.
Oh, gosh.
A tie actually would fit for where those teams are right now. Man, this... Oh, boy.
Okay.
I love how emotional we could still get over Aaron Rodgers. Like, this has been going on since he got there, and it's still amazing that he finds new ways to be interesting.
And annoying.
I liked him talking about ayahuasca with the McAfee guys was hysterical yesterday. They do go on some strange tangents.
Strange trips. The Aaron Rodgers story. All right, let's get to Prize Picks because football season in full swing. Baseball playoffs, WNBA finals, college football, heavyweight weekend, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action while you watch football or baseball or the WNBA. 10 million members, billions of dollars in award and winning pearl off. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. We absolutely love the app. It's easy to use, and it's something that we are on every day.
Yeah, so we're at this fancy event last night. Maggie got honored by Synopsis. Wonderful night. And I'm sitting here sweating out every Anthony Volpe at bat.
You
can download the Prize Picks app today and use code MNP and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
We're in a good mood today. Mets in the NLCS? Improbably.
I know this Maggie very well.
This is
sleep deprived Maggie.
You need a microphone.
I can't hear you.
I'm in a good mood today.
Banging this fist.
I am in a good mood. I woke up from a text from EJ. Let's all wear our Mets gear today. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet, Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. But we've got a score to settle. before we get to the headlines. So Perloff and I were arguing about Aaron Rodgers and how he came across yesterday as Pat McAfee interview, saying, how dare anybody think I have power in this organization? It's patently false. He's offended by the insinuation he had anything to do with Saleh getting fired, and he was very forceful about that. We were disagreeing about whether Rodgers said he was shocked, surprised, blindsided by it.
Right, right, right. Let's hear it.
So now we go to the videotape, or the audio
tape. First, can we get a little... Court is in session. We have a question.
The Honorable Elijah Stewart.
Yes, we have a question about what Rodgers said and whether or not he was indeed shocked by Robert Saleh's firing. Oh, let's hear clip one.
Well, I was in the training room doing rehab, and it's one of those things, like in a John Wick movie, is the best way to equate it, where John Wick becomes excommunicado, and then everybody at the Continental's phone starts vibrating. Yeah, it was kind of like that.
Okay.
I've never seen John Wick, so does that give it away?
So I have one witness, Ryan Botcher, who has watched John Wick. So, Ryan, you had a take on this. What is your statement on this, witness statement?
Being excommunicated from the Continental is not a good thing, of course. So basically, John Wick gets like excommunicated because he breaks a rule in the hotel by killing someone in the hotel. So he becomes.
Does this apply to this situation at all?
I'm getting further away from the truth here.
For everybody, which is weird. So this reference basically makes no sense. He basically just meant to say they got a mass text that everybody was surprised that something happened. But in a weird way, the excommunicado means that he's basically up for free game from everybody else.
Okay, so
weird.
Wait, what?
It's hard to explain. John Wick becomes a bad guy.
He's right now, skirting the question is the bottom line.
Okay, well, wait, hold on. So Pat McAfee, to his credit, the journalist that he is, asked a second follow-up question on Aaron Rodgers. And let's play clip two.
Just through the building. Holy. A lot of that type of reaction?
I mean, there was a lot of, conversations that happened after that. I mean, listen, football is a family atmosphere. You spend more time, for many of us with these people than our own loved ones. So it's a tight-knit community. And...
Wait, what is that? What does that prove?
I think everybody was
this is why she's a game changer.
It's a simple question. Answer it.
He already talked about it five times in the interview.
No, this is it. This is the answer.
Order in the court. We have a verdict. Aaron Rodgers guilty.
Thank you.
He definitely skirted this question. He did not answer whether or not he was surprised about Robert Saleh's firing.
Maggie wins.
He said, but didn't he say his whole day was blown up by this? He's like, he was supposed to come.
They changed a meeting.
Yeah, he's like, he said he did not know this happened. He was supposed to come on McAfee on Tuesday, and then they changed to 12:15 practice, and he said that they had this leadership group meeting. He did not know this was coming on Tuesday.
He was asked two direct questions about whether or not he was surprised, and the answers you heard were the answers.
Yeah, he gave you a John Wick thing that might not even make any sense, and then we're like a family here.
After a long delay... thinking of how to dodge the question again.
Daly's in the chat, youtube.com/Infinity Sports, and he goes, yep, exactly like John Wick, unless it's not. I still don't understand.
Ryan's explanation of John Wick made it even more confusing.
That's the point. It doesn't make any sense, because John Wick being excommunicated is a bad thing. So, like...
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Why would it apply to him?
Why would it apply to that? If he could have just said it was a mass text.
Saleh is excommunicated.
Yeah. No? Right? So it's like, in a weird way, that's like a shock that you get excommunicated, but it's like, in a weird way, they broke the rules or something. That's what it means.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, okay. This is what you grasp at when you're trying to filibuster.
When I heard that, I felt like all of a sudden everyone's phone went started going off. Like, whoa, what is happening?
That's what happens. But
yeah,
it's like,
it was a very whoa. The way you described the whole thing, it was a whoa, what is going on
to
here?
To everyone else.
And yeah, but I think he was grouping himself into that.
It's the Tuesday's the off day, right? So Tuesday is basically known as, player's day off. That would be the day you'd fire someone.
Tuesday is the off day, but they had their schedule changed, so Tuesday was an on day for them. That's why.
Right. Because they have a Monday night game.
I mean, I didn't include the first question, the first clip, but he's asked, were you blindsided by this? And then we got what I felt like was John Wick filibuster. That's
because
how I
Jordan Schultz reported that Rodgers was totally blindsided. He said, that was the report yesterday.
He was directly asked. He could have said,
I don't think he ever directly refuted that. I think the Schultz report still remains true. I didn't have enough evidence.
But you believe Jordan Schultz report over Aaron Rodgers himself being asked about it?
Because Rodgers never said I wasn't blindsided. I don't even know what he said there.
Exactly.
Right. But he said early on, these allegations that I had anything to do with this are patently false. So if you believe him on that, like he said, I didn't know. And then Jordan Schultz, through probably Rodgers' agent, said that he did not know this was going to happen. I don't think he ever like directly refuted that. I just think he just had a weird answer that didn't even make any sense.
Yeah.
Two weird answers when asked directly. Were you surprised by this? Something about John Wick and football is a family, and we all like Robert Saleh.
All right. The trial is over. Okay. I'm walking out a free woman.
The verdict's been delivered.
So you guys are definitely more in tune on this than Jordan was.
No, it's we're listening to Rodgers.
I'm listening to Aaron Rodgers.
What did he say there? Where did he say I wasn't blindsided?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why would he? Well, here's okay.
He should just say, Carl. Were you shocked? Yeah, I was shocked actually. And John Wick, blah blah blah. Yeah, I was shocked. And you know what? It's tough because this is a family atmosphere.
But he didn't say he wasn't shocked. He just said something totally different.
The reason why he didn't say he was shocked is because he knew it was coming.
He didn't say I wasn't shocked. He never said I wasn't surprised. He never said anything.
Right, but he
like
didn't
that.
Say he was surprised. Yeah, I mean,
he just didn't answer the question. So he didn't answer one way or the other.
Which is Maggie's point.
Also, we're also kind of moving the goalposts because the question we started this with, he said on McAfee that he was blindsided, which he did not say.
He did not.
That was the ruling.
He implied now. I was in the way he said I was in the PT room. Like he clearly didn't know it was going down then. Then they go like, well, what did you immediately do? He's like, well, I had to finish my PT exercises. Like, it wasn't like an orderly, like he ordered the hit. I don't know. I just felt like Rodgers just answered. He answers every question bizarrely.
So
any direct question, he will say something completely left field.
All this is coming back to is Rodgers being offended that anyone would think that he has power in the organization. And so the idea that, of course, he would have gotten a heads up. By the way, the franchise quarterback should get a heads up on big things because they're the de facto face of the team and the spokesperson. I don't even have a problem with it. I think it's a smart move. Just don't lie to us about it and be indignant about it. I have no power here. What are you guys talking about?
Oh, my God.
By the way, you guys, silly.
You're all such hypocrites. If Rodgers goes off, you're just going to love him just like... You're going to be right back on that bandwagon.
What does that mean?
That doesn't. I was saying, like,
you guys are piling on Aaron Rodgers as calling him a hypocrite just because he's 2-3.
No, it's because he comes out and says he was offended.
What are you guys
going to
be?
Power.
I just like okay. Like, what's your verdict on Aaron Rodgers? Do you like him?
It doesn't matter if we like him. I just don't. We can call him out though if he does things that are annoying.
Yeah.
And this is not a new conversation. He's been annoying for years, yeah. regardless of their records.
This one's actually pretty benign.
Yeah.
I think most people feel like he's a great player who is a diva and an egomaniac. And right
I feel
now
like
he's
it's
not,
easier to say all that when he's struggling. I think that's how it works.
When he was good.
He got piled on the year he won an MVP.
Right.
Because he lost in the playoffs, right?
Probably the year he took the most slings and arrows was probably the year he won the MVP.
Oh, come on. You really don't think that he's vulnerable now because he's playing bad?
We're just talking about his coach got fired and he was out here saying, I have no power in the organization. And I just said, that's not true. And then you said he got blindsided by it. And I said, I didn't hear him say that yesterday.
I didn't hear him say, well, okay.
But also, but at the same time though, I mean, like I said before the break, I mean, Rodgers also said like, if I played better, Saleh would be here. So, he acknowledges that he should be open season for what's happened. Like I don't feel like it's piling on necessarily. If he himself is saying, I feel bad about this because if the offense played better, he would be the head coach.
There was also an inciting action here. We didn't just pick a random Thursday to start taking slings and arrows at Rodgers. Here's the other part, too. You don't have to do McAfee the day after your coach gets fired. But he wanted to come out to get this narrative out there that he had nothing to do with it. So he's trying to cover his butt. And to me, it doesn't hold water. Let's get to some headlines. Spokes.
Guys, we were told that Giancarlo Stanton couldn't run anymore, and then he stole his first base in 4 years last night in Game 4 in KC. The Yankee DH also did his usual damage.
Here's the 3-1 to Giancarlo. Swing on, a high fly to left. Back goes Melendez on the track. He's at the wall, and she's gone! A Stantonian home run. He drove a high fly deep left into the Yankee bullpen. to give the Yankees a 3-2 lead. Giancarlo, no si può scopparlo.
Stanton breaking a 2-2 tie, top eight. Luke Weaver got a five-out save for a 3-2 Yankee win and a 2-1 series lead on the Royals. But let's go back to that stolen base.
He wasn't holding me on, and he was slow to the plate, so I thought, why not?
Should we tell a show how you're coming for him next year?
I might be. Let him know.
That was Stanton postgame on TBS. Over in the NL, Mookie Betts got his Dodgers going quickly in an elimination game, and he got me closer to EJ in our postseason home run derby.
So here's the payoff. Betts swings and hits a high drive. Left center field and deep. Merrill at the wall. It's gone! Mookie Betts at it again. The first inning home run. He pumps his fist halfway between second and third. A low high five for Dino Ebel. His second home run in as many days. It's 1-0 Dodgers.
Steven Nelson, Dodgers radio. Betts drove in a second run. Shohei Ohtani had an RBI, and eight relievers shut out the Padres 8-0 to force game five in L.A. tomorrow. The Dodgers, the second team ever to use eight or more relievers only for a shutout in the postseason. The Mets rode one Francisco Lindor swing to a clincher over the Phillies. Lindor, a sixth inning grand slam for a 4-1 decision in their game four. The Mets winning a series at home for the first time since the 2000 NL pennant. Game one of the NLCS is Sunday night in L.A. or San Diego.
Do we have an update, by the way, on... So EJ is obviously winning the home run, the postseason home run thing.
Yeah.
And you have how many now?
That's two.
That's four for EJ, all off Tatis.
Yeah, and I have two Mookie Betts home runs.
So I have six total.
So you
have
Stanton now.
I have Stanton hit one and Ohtani hit one in game one, so I have six total.
I got two. I got Lindor and Harper.
Yeah, and I got two Betts.
I've got one with Teoscar Hernandez. But just like Lindor hit a grand slam last night, Teoscar Hernandez hit a grand slam, that should mean 1.5.
It should not.
No.
Just listen, you won the Rogers thing. And last
all right,
night.
Sorry, all
yes,
right.
Just recapping yesterday's quarterback news. The Patriots confirming that Drake May starts against the Texans, and the Saints are going with Spencer Rattler against the Bucs because of Derek Carr's oblique injury. That'll give us five rookie starters this season. And the Raiders are switching from Gardner Minshew to Aiden O'Connell. As the hockey season gets chugging, the Golden Knights outscored the Avalanche 8-4 with Mark Stone scoring twice, and the Flames won in OT in Vancouver 6-5 after trailing 3-0 and 4-1, then wasting a 5-4 lead. And Rafael Nadal will end his legendary tennis career after next month's Davis Cup final. His video announcement said it's been too hard to fight through injuries the last 2 years. The 38-year-old Nadal will finish with 22 major titles, 14 of them coming at the French Open. Guys, back to you.
Can I ask you guys a quick tennis question?
Yes.
Does Alcaraz need a true rival like Federer Nadal in order for him to reach the Nadal-Federer kind of celebrity?
Great question. I think tennis definitely is made better with rivalries. Every sport is, but he's kind of such a phenom. It's not Tiger Woods, but it's a little like him versus the field could also be good enough.
I also, not to dodge the question, I think it's the fact that those three guys have 20 plus majors all at the same time. It's not supposed to happen. So like contemplating what Alcaraz needs to do to get to them seems unfair to them to just think that he's the next guy that he's going to win 20 plus majors.
Right.
Like he needs to be ridiculously good for 15 years,
yeah,
regardless of whoever else is around him to even make this a conversation. Like it's so far out of anyone's reach that we shouldn't even be worrying about it yet.
I'm kind of dying to see when an American wins a men's grand slam event against.
Don't Same. Put your death on that.
Well, it's better now than ever, right?
Though? I mean, I guess.
The trend is definitely going in the right direction compared to what it was.
We need it. Like, we need it so bad. It's been too long.
If Tiafoe did it, oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
But I don't think men's tennis is going to be that. He's got to win. Well, he wouldn't won maybe something somewhere. Give me something, Bogus.
Yeah, I mean, he might win one, but...
That'd be huge.
It would be huge, but it's also not the beginning of him winning eight. Like, none of these guys are 20 and about to be the next great player. And even the U.S. Open, which everybody got geeked up for, it took a lot of people either not showing up or losing early to make it possible for those two guys, him and Fritz, right, to be there in the semis.
It's funny, the Netflix show where they follow these guys, the only one it didn't work for is tennis. It's worked for every other one. Formula One got huge off of this. Golf, it was huge, that show. And for
was
some
the golf
reason,
one huge? I don't remember. The tennis one I tried to watch and I couldn't care less. But the golf one, did they really get a big push off of that?
I thought that people really liked the Brooks Koepka. Like, I just watched the first season, but...
I don't know. The NBA one starts when? Today?
It's just started.
Yesterday.
Yeah, I think a couple days ago.
Are all the episodes out?
No, they're doing it one episode at a time.
Okay.
Which is why I haven't rushed to go get to it, because I'm not getting spoiled. Apparently LeBron was very upset about the minutes restriction, which sounds funny.
All right, we'll get to that. 855-212-4227. Lots to do. Thank you, Bogish. We check in with our favorite college football coach next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things, like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. You want to know what kind of friend and teammate Andrew Perloff is? An excellent one. Came with me last night to, celebrate this really cool award that I received that I was really humbled by. And you didn't have to do it. You didn't have to be there, but you were. You were on the red carpet. You were mingling at the cocktail hour. You were doing all the things. So thank you very much for that.
You keep saying that. First of all, I was honored to be there. Everybody wanted to go. Like, that was nice of you to give me the one ticket. It was a great event. The food was great. We had steak. There was free dessert. Now, there was a dance floor at the end. I didn't see that happen. They put out glow sticks. Did you get on? I left a little bit early. Did you get on the dance floor?
I did not get on the dance floor. I was too busy trying to meet a couple people who I wanted to meet.
There was a story last night that shocked me, by the way.
What's that?
The first person who hired you, we ran into him, and he was like, Maggie, you were such a hard worker. Like, you are the person that I talk about in my classes about how to be.
Yes, right. One said to tell me when I was covering high school sports that I really had to dial it back a little bit because I was freaking out the coaches. they feel like they're being investigated by you. Like, no, I'm just trying to find some fun stories. But
wait, what was it? I actually only. So what did he say? I thought it was like you were you did your sideline reports and you weren't spacing them out throughout the game enough. Like you were emptying the chamber.
Yeah, that a little bit too. It's just like, we're going to get to you. But no, I was so dogged in trying to make an impact, you know, and I was really just gung-ho about being a sideline reporter for high school sports, which on in New York City was a big deal, and I was proud to get the job. But I would be so, I'd be like at the high school interviewing the coaches who are basically, you know, most of them are like gym teachers or something who are just volunteering and helping out. I'd be calling college coaches.
So you're
coaches
treating it like the BCS final.
I was reporting this stuff out like I was a Christian on poor. Like I took it a little too seriously, I think.
Well, that's why you got honored. Yeah, he took, you know, it's one of those people too, is like, this is not an insult. He seemed like a great guy.
Yeah.
But he was taking a little bit of credit for this. Like, I, you know, everybody who's ever hired you takes all the credit. But actually, it sounds like he does deserve the credit because that was your first job in sports.
Yeah, it was like a big break that I had. And he was very honest with me about things I was doing well and not well. And I appreciated getting coached. I'm like a Brady type. I want to get coached hard. Like, tell me the truth. I just want to know the truth. I don't need my ego to be massaged at all. So, but this was a funny moment. So Dave Marinick, who is our big executive here, who is great and, you know, is a boss, but doesn't make himself seem like a boss, more like a friend and here to help. And he's just awesome. So he came with us last night. And we realized that Trista Crick, who joined us earlier, who also got honored, that they wanted us to go up on stage and pose with like an actual award, which is like this rectangle made out of glass. And Trista and I didn't have one. And they kept saying, we'll bring one over, we'll bring yours over, but they never did.
Mm.
So all of a sudden, Dave, as we're getting closer and closer, we know our time's coming up. Dave goes, I see a table back there. They've got some awards and boxes. I'm just going to go, I'll go grab yours. We're like, great, thanks, Dave. It's really nice of you. So all of a sudden, Marinick leaves, and he comes back. He's like, this is all I could find. And it was two awards that had two other women's names on them. He's like, here, you be Debbie, and you can be Linda. It's like, Dave, I can't take somebody else's award. It's got their names on it. We can't do that. Dave's like, oh, yeah, you're right. He goes and puts them back. We almost stole somebody else's award.
So what did you do? And you're supposed to go up to the stage and pose for a photo with all the other people holding up your award.
Yeah.
So you just did not have an award.
We just didn't have them. We went up there and we were just kind of like, we faked it. And meanwhile, other women are up there. Monica McNutt, you watch on ESPN all the time, was getting on. And she's like kissing the award. Everyone's like posing with it. And Trista and I are just like thumbs up.
Yeah. but there's a great photo on our social feed of Monica and you and Trista and everybody else.
AJ Ross.
And AJ Ross. That was cool. You guys made the most. Like, I think your group kind of, no surprise, you're the on-air group, were the most like entertaining up there.
I would hope so, right? Yeah. And so anyway, I just have to appreciate Dave Marinick.
Yeah.
That's problem solving.
Yeah.
We needed an award. He got one for us.
Didn't matter whose it was.
Didn't matter it wasn't ours. Like, congratulations for all your advancements in ad sales.
But
thank you.
By the way, EJ, you would have appreciated it. I was all night, I was sort of side-eyeing to see if I could corner Monica McNutt and ask her about her thoughts on Paul George. I never had an opportunity because I was like, oh, this is a great celebration, but let's be serious about the NBA Eastern Conference here, Monica. What do you have on store for me? She was, but she kept on talking to these important people and I couldn't get in a basketball conversation.
Darn it.
Did you ever talk to her?
I did, and because I called one of her games when she was a player at Georgetown.
Oh, wow.
I did five play-by-play games in my life, and one of them happened to be her at Georgetown playing West Virginia.
She seems incredibly nice.
Everyone there. It was a good room. Inspiring room.
Bethany Frankel's speech, not the most organized speech I've ever heard in my life.
I don't know if our audience is that familiar with Bethany Frankel.
Bethany Frankel, you're probably more familiar with her than most of the sports names we mentioned. Bethany Frankel's a big A-list celebrity.
Yeah, no, she was good. I felt like I was listening to her on 1.5 speed.
Yeah. Fun night.
Which college head coach has the hot seat waiting?
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile.
Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.